This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's
go. Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Big Bang Barbecue. GA with you for the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Cincinnati to Savannah, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Hey, listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And as always, we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you. Anthony Davis is a member of the Los Angeles Lakers as of July 6th, but the deal is in place. Free agency will begin in 2.5 weeks, and so Ian Thompson's going to join us. So much to discuss around the NBA, coming up with Ian, NBA author, author of The Soul of Basketball, longtime NBA reporter and insider. Ian Thompson's going to join us coming up in about 35 minutes from now. Tons of offseason NBA news with the Raptors parade today. We'll discuss whether the Raptors are the most unlikely NBA champion ever. We will also discuss Danny Ainge's plans, his grand plans going up in smoke. OJ is on Twitter. That's a bad thing.
I'm on Twitter or Facebook right now.
LeVar Ball's talking to media again. That's also a bad thing.
Oh, okay.
And much, much more this morning on the DA show, including Klay Thompson's rehab, injury, and offseason with his contract free agency. All of that coming up this morning on the dot. And as always, you want to jump in on any of that. Let's do it. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, get at me, DA on CBS. For the dads out there, happy Father's Day yesterday. I'm hoping all of you had a happy and healthy Father's Day. For those that were celebrating your dads, like I did, spent a nice day with Papa Amendo, went to a motorcycle museum. He's a big motorcycle enthusiast. Been so for a long time since he was working on them in garages back in his 20s. Got to do that and then took him out to dinner last night, so that was a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys got to celebrate the dads in your lives as well. My dad helped me become a huge sports fan, watching NFL Sundays with him on the couch basically throughout my formative years. He always supported my career as well, so I appreciate that very much. And hopefully you guys were able to say thanks to your dads, your granddads, and everybody in your family able to support them because they support us. I was not in on Friday, and so I did not have a chance to react on this show about Toronto's championship. And so coming up in 14 minutes from now, I'll give you my full-on thoughts on the unpredictability of the Raptors actually hanging a banner this year. But let's start with Anthony Davis because this is the story of the stories, that AD is heading to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers, Rob Pelinka and company, getting the deal done. And David Griffin for the New Orleans Pelicans getting a massive haul for AD. In terms of the price, there are certainly people out there that believe this is too much. And when you look at it, no doubt, there's a lot that has been traded away for the Lakers just to acquire a superstar. But this is what they do. This is what the Lakers have always done. Big game hunting. Big, big, big game hunting in this case. And when you trade away Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and a number of draft picks, which includes this year's number four pick overall, an unprotected swap in 23, an unprotected first rounder in 24, an unprotected swap in 25, this is a big time haul for the Pelicans. According to league sources, it's going to be the number four pick this year going to the Pelicans, a top eight protected pick in 2021, which could become unprotected in 22, and then two swaps in 23 and 25, and a first rounder in 24. It's a lot. You've got players and you've got picks. Josh Hart goes along with three picks, Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. So even though the Lakers got one of the best players in the NBA in the middle of his prime, did they give up too much? Did the Pelicans get a train robbery here? Is this the Herschel Walker trade? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
I think they're a great combination together on the floor. You look at what LeBron does and how he sucks in a defense and how he uses cutters and bigs in particular. You look at JaVale McGee and his success this last season. A lot of it was due to playing alongside LeBron James and getting so many easy baskets thanks to him. A guy like Anthony Davis is going to be that times 10. I mean, his ability to finish at the rim is going to be utilized. And then you look at a guy that can do some of the heavy lifting as well while LeBron is off the floor. It's a perfect combination in my mind. It's something that'll work very, very well and should be a lot of fun to watch.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Trevor Lane from Lakers.com, who joined CBS Sports HQ discussing this trade. Again, this is a ton of pieces to give up if you're the Lakers. You're giving up three young players, and you're giving up three first-round draft picks and unprotected swaps down the road twice, which means if the Lakers end up having the number one pick overall in 2023 or 2025, the Pelicans get that. So this is a monster amount of draft picks. However, I have to applaud the Lakers for getting the deal done, and here's why. This season, more than any, this postseason, more than any, just gave us the ammunition to defend going big game hunting, because look at what the Toronto Raptors were able to pull off with Kawhi Leonard. When they traded for Kawhi, same deal. Did they give up too much? They gave up DeMar DeRozan, who was the best player of the franchise. They gave up Jakob Poeltl, a good young big man. They gave up a first-round draft pick, and people said, you're only getting him for a rental. You're only getting Kawhi for 1 year. He's going to leave anyway, so isn't that too much to give up? Well, look at it now. Look at me now. This is a team that is hanging a banner, winning an NBA championship. And wasn't it all worth it? It was obviously worth it to trade away DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a first rounder for this. In this NBA, especially with a compromised Golden State Warriors team right now that may lose Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson will likely be out all of the next season, or at least a bulk of next season until the playoffs. What you're talking about is an NBA that's more wide open than we have had in a long time. And so for the Lakers, being aggressive has to be applauded the same way that we are applauding the Toronto Raptors. We can't sit here today and say, great job, Raptors. What a job it was by Ujiri, and then say, no, the Lakers gave up too much. Did the Lakers give up more? Yes. But the Lakers also will get more, because Kawhi could very well leave in 2.5 weeks. And Anthony Davis wants to be in LA. So if you've got Anthony Davis for the bulk of his prime, if you're getting AD for 6 or 7 or 8 years, 2 contracts worth, then you've got to give up more. And really, what is Lonzo Ball? And what is Brandon Ingram? And what is Josh Hart? They weren't good enough to even make the playoffs this year. What scares me about this deal for the Lakers is not giving up the young players now. It's all of those draft picks. Because at some point in time, LeBron's going to walk out that door into the sunset and retire. And for the Lakers, they're giving up 3 first-rounders in this trade. This year, understandable. 2021, which could become 2022, first pick overall. That's a rough one. Giving up the first in 2024. Down the road, but that could be a rough one. Unprotected swaps down the road. You could have a situation where beginning in 2022, 4 straight years, the Lakers get the first pick overall and never own it. That's possible. That's hypothetical. That's worrisome. But again, if you're talking about winning a championship next year, the year after that, at some point in time, in the next couple of seasons when LeBron is still at a very effective level and on this roster, I cannot criticize the Lakers. This is a Lakers organization that was really easy to make fun of a couple of weeks ago. And today, they just landed an enormous trophy fish. And LeBron and AD are going to be really good together. And they're going to be a title favorite. They're going to be a contender. And in today's NBA, you have to have a defining superstar to win a championship. Let's face it. Right now, the Lakers have 2 of them. This is a great deal for the Pelicans, by the way. A great deal. Because David Griffin got every last thing he could out of a buyer on this market. Everybody knew that AD had to be traded. He didn't want to come back. So the Pelicans had no leverage except we've got a really great player here. And the fact that the Pelicans got that much, applause to Griffin. And the fact that he's going to get Zion Williamson and then have Zion with Ball and Ingram and Hart, but more importantly, that they've got 2 of the top 4 picks this year in the draft. And again, starting in 2022, you could have 4 straight lottery picks coming from the Lakers is a pretty amazing haul to get. They should be able to build a really good roster around Zion Williamson over the next 5 years. And isn't that exactly what David Griffin was brought in for? It's a great job by the Pels. It's a great job by Griffin. Great job. And it sucks for the Celtics because they would never go that high. They didn't have those types of pieces to give up. 3 young players and this year's number 4 pick overall. But them's the breaks. The Lakers were aggressive and got the deal done. And I applaud both sides, the Lakers and the Pelicans, for what they got in return. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I mean, look, this is a risk for the Lakers. But you're going to have to take a risk in trading for a guy like this on the open market. 3 years from now, the Lakers might not own their pick for 4 straight seasons, and it might all be in the top 5. That's definitely on the table. But if you want to win a championship right now in what feels like a wide-open NBA, this is a move that can do that. That's how good AD is. When we come back here on the show, I've got thoughts on the Toronto Raptors with their parade today and the 5 most interesting dynamics in my mind of this Raptors championship and where it puts the NBA going into this summer. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
I'm all about DA. Very smart, very talented. Love the kid's process, works it hard, cares about the show, grinds. It's about the right stuff, man. And he's a good dude.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, Jim. This Friday, Smack Off 25, and I'm coming for Matt in L.A. I've already called my shot. It's happening on Friday, the Jim Rome Show. 25 years of the Smack Off. And it's time for me to dip my toe in the waters of the jungle. 22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, full episodes available on iTunes, radio.com, and other places that podcasts are available. Listen to the DA show whenever you want, on demand, in podcast form. It's an Ask the Pros day today where you get to pick a question, any question, send it to me. I'll answer it coming up. DA on CBS, and the Twitter handle is where you can do that. And be listening later on in the show, and we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Toronto Raptors will celebrate their championship today with a parade in downtown Toronto. And they deserve every bit of it. Every single bit of it. Because that Raptors team, while it doesn't have the history that other NBA champions have had, it had one of the best players in the NBA, a tremendous supporting cast, and challenges each and every step along the way, which they rose to the occasion and succeeded in spite of. There were five things that I thought made the Raptors one of the most interesting, intriguing NBA champions of all time. And let's count them down. To me, number five is the belief right now. I think this championship resonates across the entire NBA. Wow, the Raptors won a title? We can as well. You see, the NBA has been a very closed circuit for a very long time. Same handful of teams have collected all of the championships. Of course, the Celtics and the Lakers are at the top, but the Bulls had the six under Michael Jordan. You had the Pistons with the Bad Boys and then the 2004 championship. You had five for the San Antonio Spurs. You have the Heat with three championships as well. And then the Warriors became the most modern dynasty. They were looking for their fourth championship in 5 years. You have these belts, these collected pockets of championships throughout NBA history, and usually you never have an interloper. This was the party crasher, and the Raptors winning a title should resonate across the entire NBA. While the Raptors could do it, we could do it. Number four, the claw. Kawhi Leonard's postseason. As I've documented and discussed on this show throughout the last 2.5 months, is one of the most remarkable playoffs we've ever seen from an individual player. Yes, the Raptors had a good supporting cast, and yes, they worked well together, and yes, when push came to shove at the end of that series in game number six to clinch, Kyle Lowry had an amazing first quarter, Fred VanVleet hit big shots. You had Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol contributing, Danny Green hitting big shots, but at the end of the day, it was Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi's playoffs this year, culminating in a championship, to me, puts him up there in NBA lore with some of the greatest players and their playoffs ever. If we go back to the modern NBA, which kind of began by most people's standards when Magic and Larry got into the league in the late 70s, early 80s, I think Larry Bird's 84, Magic's 87, Isaiah's 89, Michael's 93, Hakeem's 94, Duncan's 99, Wade's 06, LeBron's 16, KD's 17. These are all-time iconic playoff runs culminating in championships. Kawhi just got one. You just watched one. From his buzzer beater against the Sixers to his all-out dominant play in the NBA Finals, Kawhi was special, historically special. Number three, the most interesting part about this postseason and this Finals and this championship for the Raptors was the grind, because the Warriors clearly faltered because of the grind. It was at least a part of this. Steve Kerr, after game six, suggesting that Klay Thompson, his blown ACL, Kevin Durant, his Achilles, Andre Iguodala, his leg injury, Kevon Looney, his injury, the fact that everybody was seemingly banged up on this roster outside of Steph Curry. Steve Kerr alluded to the fact that we've been trying to do this for five straight years. And when they got to the NBA Finals, they did an entire cold open on this. That this Warriors thing was really special because we had not seen this done since the Celtics of the 60s, but the Celtics of the 60s went through one round of playoffs to get to the finals. One. If they were a top two seed back then in the 60s, you basically got funneled into the Eastern Conference Finals. It's four rounds. Three rounds just to get to the NBA Finals. That's two full rounds. Seven-game series. Two seven-game series longer than what those Celtics of the 60s did. To go to five straight NBA Finals is remarkable. And it also took its toll. And Steve Kerr even admitted this. And if this theory holds water, what does that say about LeBron James going to eight straight NBA Finals? Look at how the Warriors were tattered and battered by the end of five. And Kevin Durant didn't play in all five. Kevon Looney wasn't in all five. It just goes to show you that this is why it's so devastatingly difficult to keep a run going for longer than 3 or 4 years in a row. And that this had not been seen in 50 years, and it might not be seen for another 50 years. Number two, the injuries. Undoubtedly, the Warriors' injuries played a factor in this series. But what it also told us was Steph Curry and Draymond Green alone aren't enough to be a contender. I mean, let's face it, when it was just when Klay Thompson and KD were out in game three, the Raptors punched them and won and knocked them down. In game six, once Klay went out, I mean, it was a very admirable effort by the Warriors, and they almost pulled it out of the fire. But when you saw a lineup with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Iguodala, Livingston, Alphonso McKinney, Jerebko got minutes. You said, "What? This is not a real contender. This is not a real title contender." That's how far it is from the Warriors being unbeatable to very beatable. And that's the new reality right now for Golden State. That's what's amazing about that series. It showed us a glimpse into the future. It felt like the Warriors could never be taken down. And once you removed Kevin Durant from the situation, they seemed very beatable. And once you took Klay Thompson out of the equation, they seemed very average. This is not a criticism on Steph Curry, although it could be. It's just the reality. It's that Klay's not going to be back for the bulk of next season, even if they re-sign him. And if they don't re-sign Kevin Durant, that new Warriors team, now granted they can sign other players, but that new Warriors team doesn't look like a champion. And finally, to me, the most interesting part of this NBA Finals was this battle about the asterisk. The asterisk. Should the Raptors have an asterisk? Hell no, they shouldn't have an asterisk. Look, they went through every one of these rounds of the playoffs like anybody else has ever done, and they won their games. They won 4-4-4-4. 16 wins is the only way you can get to hang a banner and have the parade they're having today. And I don't care if Kevin Durant was out of the lineup. I don't care if Klay Thompson got injured for game three and then ultimately game number six. I don't care about the banged up nature of the Warriors. This has happened, and the Warriors have benefited from it. And the same way the Warriors don't have to apologize for 2015 is the Raptors don't have to apologize for 2019. You know, this dynasty for the Warriors began by beating a team without two of its three best players. The 2015 Cavs had LeBron minus Love and Irving. Well, guess what? This 2019 Warriors team at the end had only one of its best three players as well. That Warriors banner hangs at Oracle. It'll hang at the Chase Center, and I didn't see an asterisk on it. Did anybody catch that? I didn't see one. So stop with that. That's utterly ridiculous and disrespectful to the Raptors. They won what they needed to win. There is no asterisk. Today is the Toronto Parade. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. If you want to jump in on discussion about the Raptors championship parade, the Pelicans trading away AD, the Lakers, and much, much more, we'll talk about both with Ian Thompson, longtime NBA scribe, coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Zapped while the sun is out.
Hey, how's it going, DA? Thanks for making the driving traffic so easy. Show's great.
I feel good and I'm doing well.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
As am I.
There's a lot of that.
Welcome inside a Monday edition of the DA Show, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. You can watch the show, you know. Don't you know? Don't you know? By going to watchda.com. That's available anywhere, anytime, on your phone, on your laptop, on your tablet. Take us with you. Watch us on the big screen, your smart TV. Watch us on your computer at work, watchda.com. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Joining us here on the show, friend of the Dow, longtime NBA writer, scribe, insider, and author, the author of the book, The Soul of Basketball, our friend Ian Thompson. Ian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, DA. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's start with the AD trade. Did you feel the Lakers gave up too much for Anthony Davis?
Oh, no. No, and it was so smart for them to give up their protections on the picks. Because they unlike the Nets, who the Nets had basically a rookie owner who didn't know what he was agreeing to do, and he was at the mercy of currency fluctuations in his country, Russia, and that changed the whole Nets' future expectations. They went from being a team that thought they were going to be in contention every year to not really being able to afford to do it. And the Lakers don't foresee that kind of problem, not with a long-term TV contract they've signed. So I think it's a terrific trade for them. And I think a good thing to talk about here is just how great it's going to be for Anthony Davis personally, not just to become a bigger star, but to be in the environment of LeBron James. Pat Riley spent a lot of time talking with me for my book about how LeBron turned into a leader and how he was even able to, he got to the point where he could tell Dwayne Wade, look, you need to get in better shape. And what I've always heard about Anthony Davis is that he needs that. He needed somebody to show him, look, you think you're doing everything, you need to do more. You think you're too hurt to play, you can play. Go out and play. This is what is expected of you. LeBron learned all of that the hard way, and now I think he's going to show Anthony Davis the way forward. And I bet that was part of LeBron's recruiting pitch to Anthony Davis. Look, I'm going to show you how to be a better player. I'm going to do for you what Pat Riley and he did for me.
I have not heard that financial part of the equation that you brought up when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets situation. Some have said, well, this is kind of like the Nets trading away all of their picks to the Boston Celtics a couple of years ago in the ill-fated Kevin Garnett-Paul Pierce trade. Could you just go back over why that's not a good comparison?
Well, the Nets, they assumed that they were always going to be contending. And the owner told Billy Kane, Mikhail Prokhorov told Billy Kane and Bobby Marks and all them, look, don't worry about us ever being in the lottery. We're always going to spend. We're always going to be up there. It's never going to be a problem. And then it was. They had a currency crash, and he was looking his circumstances changed, and their circumstances changed. And all of a sudden, they didn't have the leadership they thought they had. The Lakers have none of that. The Lakers have signed the richest, richest local TV deal in the NBA, and they're making so much money that it's impossible for them to lose money. And now they've set the bar. They're not gonna be missing the playoffs. Not while they have LeBron and Anthony Davis and whoever else. And so I just don't think this helped by adding the protections. This helped them give the Pelicans face. If they saved face, Dave Griffin was able to go to the owner and say, "Look, we have a Nets-like deal here, and we should make this trade now." But it isn't a Nets deal. They're never going to get the kind of bounty that the Celtics got off the Nets trade.
See, that's really interesting. So because of the financial might of the Lakers, that even if LeBron ends up retiring or gets old, they'll have enough money to spend on free agents to where they're never going to be a really terrible team, so that those picks that they trade away 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now will just never be as high as what the Brooklyn Nets ended up having.
That's clearly their idea, that we are never going to, we've been bad for these last few years because Kobe Bryant retired and there was nobody to step in for him, but that's not the case now. LeBron says he's going to play forever, you know, and Anthony Davis is just now approaching his peak years. And now they have the space to go out and get somebody else too, and they're going to now be one of those destinations where the cheap veteran players are going to want to go there to try to win a championship. Especially now that the Warriors are out of the picture with all their injuries, so it really is a fragile, fluctuating league. Where a month ago I thought the Lakers were in ruin, with all of the Rob Pelinka drama and Magic Johnson, and they didn't look like they were going anywhere, and the Pelicans weren't interested in what they were offering, and the Celtics were still going to make a run at Anthony Davis, and now look how it's all changed. We have no idea who's going to win the championship next year, and who's to say if the Lakers don't have a good month that they won't be the team next year.
Yeah, Ian Thompson joins us, longtime NBA writer and author of The Soul of Basketball. From a Pelican standpoint, that was a lot that they got back in return. Do you give an A-plus to David Griffin for what he got?
I'll give him an A because he did the best with what he could. The Celtics refused to engage. Anthony Davis made it clear that he wasn't going to stay with them. And, you know, the Celtics missed their chance on the Kawhi Leonard thing. They could have possibly gotten Kawhi Leonard. Would they have won the championship? I don't know. But I'm sure that they have some regret over that looking back. But if they had gone all in on Anthony Davis, that would have compounded that error. That would have made things worse because he made it clear he wasn't going to stay. Kawhi Leonard has not done that. Kawhi Leonard, there's a chance he'll stay with the Raptors. And the Raptors were in a position where they didn't want to keep DeMar DeRozan for the long term. The Celtics are not in that position with Jason Tatum. They want to keep him for the long term. If they could have got Anthony Davis for him for the long term, then yeah, for sure. But since that wasn't going to happen, David Griffin was left with one team to negotiate with, and, you know, he did as well as he possibly could have.
Where does this leave Danny Ainge and the Celtics after Ainge's master plan of accumulating all these assets to go out and get a huge star like AD, to lose out on AD and not to be in the running for any of these Tier A free agents this offseason? Where does that leave Boston?
I think two ways. One of them is nuanced, but the idea that's really intriguing to me as far as the Celtics would be to go out and trade for Mike Conley and get him from Memphis and give your team the leadership that they did not have last year with Kyrie Irving. So just in terms of leadership and pulling teammates together and getting your teammates to play at their highest level, well, Kyrie, the players around Kyrie this year in the Celtics, they underachieved. And I think if the Celtics were to somehow get Mike Conley running the team, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, all those guys, it would go back to last year, the year before, and things would make a lot more sense. And he would be real excited to be there. He'd be rejuvenated, Mike Conley would, by not only being an all-star, which is what he would be in the East, but also having a chance to get to an NBA Finals, which if Kawhi Leonard leaves, the Celtics could definitely do that, even with losing Kyrie Irving and only replacing him with Mike Conley. You look around the East, the Celtics, if the rest of their players play better in the absence of Kyrie Irving, which I would think they would, I don't see why the Celtics, even though they haven't got Anthony Davis, even though they lost Kyrie, I wouldn't see why they couldn't get to the NBA Finals next year.
Ian Thompson joins us this morning here on the show, longtime writer covering the NBA for Sports Illustrated, NBA.com, the author of The Soul of Basketball. When it comes to Kevin Durant, do you think the injury has changed the idea or the assumption that he was going to leave Golden State this summer?
I don't think so. He went to New York for surgery. He's hanging out there now. Those are the two teams that are supposedly in the running to get him. I don't think so. I don't think it's changed all the talk. I don't know what he's going to do, but just all the where there's smoke, there's fire. There's so much smoke here that I think everybody would be shocked if he went back to the Warriors.
Should Knicks fans, if they get Kevin Durant, be worried that they are signing up for less than the great Kevin Durant that we know, and that this injury could end up plaguing the rest of his career?
They should be concerned, but if they were to get Kevin Durant, they should not even worry about that right now. They should just be unbelievably happy that he has taken this huge leap of faith to go to the worst franchise of the last quarter century and give himself up to them, because they haven't earned it. They just haven't. They haven't shown yet that they have the structure to create a winning team around him. I'm not saying they won't. I'm not saying Scott Perry and Steve Mills can't do that. I'm just saying the New York Knicks, which goes far beyond those two guys, Scott Perry and Steve Mills, the New York Knicks of James Dolan, they haven't shown that they're worthy of a player like Kevin Durant. And they had a guy, Porzingis, who said, if you don't trade me, I'm out of here. I mean, that was further proof that the Knicks are a troubled franchise. Now, maybe Kevin Durant can help them change that. Maybe he can. But so Knicks fans should not be worried at all about Kevin's future. They should be grateful for the opportunity that he'd be giving them if he were to go there.
Well said. Ian Thompson joins us this morning on the show. His book is The Soul of Basketball, the epic showdown between LeBron, Kobe, Doc, and Dirk that saved the NBA. It seems like a pretty good time to grab this book and check it out this summer. Good summer reading. You can get that Amazon and other places books are sold. Ian's been a longtime writer for the NBA, Sports Illustrated, NBA.com, amongst others. It's always great to catch up, my man. Thanks so much. I'm sure we'll do it again soon.
I appreciate it, D.A.
Okay, Ian Thompson joining us this morning on the show. He's absolutely right about the Knicks. I mean, Knicks fans, when Kevin Durant went down with the torn Achilles, oh, it's over. We can't sign him. Nobody wants him. He's a broken down shell of himself. He's going to be injured. It's going to be Amari Stoudemire 2.0. We don't want him. Ian's like, if you can get him, you should bow at his feet, because that franchise has proven nothing and earned nothing to get a player of his greatness. And he's right. Who knows? Maybe Kevin Durant is not Kevin Durant after rehab. Maybe he just can never lift or explode the same way. But if he chooses you, you do not look a gift horse in the mouth. Because the Knicks, as Ian just said, are the worst franchise in the NBA over the last 25 years, at least since 1999. Over the last 20 years, it's the losingest franchise. It's the most losses in the NBA over 20 years. So if Kevin Durant chooses you, you just got to pray to the heavens. Thank you. Thank you. I don't care if he's only got one Achilles. I don't care. It's good. It's good. It's all good. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. I really loved his point also on what makes this deal different between the Lakers and what the Brooklyn Nets gave up for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Remember, part of the reason that just ends up being the stupidest deal ever was because Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce had like two good years left, really one good year together left. So you were buying at the very back end of their career. You're buying Anthony Davis right now at 26 years old. You've got a good six seasons of him being in his absolute prime, not the very back end, tail end of two Warriors that have been around the NBA for a decade and a half. When we come back here on the show, could Kemba Walker be the next domino for the Lakers? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.